1 John 2:18, starting our reading there, title of message, Warning of Antichrist or Antichrist. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would not, had no doubt, have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist, and that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that not acknowledge the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy word that settled in heaven. We thank thee for your blessings that you've given us, as we heard this morning about thy precious word, and we thank thee, Father, that you've given it to us. You've backed it up at every turn. You've revealed things in the future. You've cemented, concreted it, that it's no doubt thy word. We thank thee, Father, that you've given it to us. We do pray for our lost loved ones, that they too might realize it is the truth and that Jesus Christ is their only hope. We pray you bless this service this morning, and that all things be done in decent and in order and in honor and glory unto thee, through our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. As mentioned, it's the warning of Antichrist. And Antichrist, we find this is the definition of God, or a declaration about him, a figure empowered by Satan who functions as the enemy of Jesus Christ and his church. In the context of apocalyptic literature, the figure performs false miracles, deceive many in order to discourage people from worshiping the true God, and persecutes God's people. The term Antichrist could mean either against Christ or in the place of Christ, while the actual term Antichrist, which originates in the New Testament, then skip a couple of few words, the better phrase used to discuss the issue may be an eschatological antagonist. The term is only found in John's writing. However, Jesus used it Jesus called and spoke of Antichrist, the son of abomination of desolation. And Paul uses the term man of sin and son of perdition. And then John in the book of Revelation used the word beast. And so these are the different terms that used for Antichrist. But in John's writing, and the verse that we read in verse 18, it is the personal noun. It is a personal name, excuse me. and it is the few times that we find the scripture where it's talking about something like this, where we think about Antichrist, that it uses as a personal name. Personal name. And nevertheless, there's always been opposition to the cause of God. From the beginning, we just start in the garden, and there's always been opposition to God. There's always those that are against God and would replace God and do away with God if they could in the mind and thinking of people. And so we've seen this for for generation to generations as we, when God brought us into being, that there's always those that are going against Christ. And sometime we're amazed at advertisements that are anti-Christ, that they're against the things of Christ. And We find that even people run for campaigns sometime will use terms that are against Christ and are against God or the Word of God. And so we, when we think about these things, that this is this where the world is. We find all around us those that are against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that are against Almighty God. We think about there was always a deep opposition, as we mentioned, to the cause of Christ. There are people who declared themselves to be the Messiah, to be the Christ. Before Jesus came, we know from the declaration, I mean, as the Word of God, as they speaking about Him, they said, you know, the Sanhedrin's telling, well, we had this other guy, you know, and we just ignored him, and finally he just faded away. And so there's always been Messiahs, Christ, anointed, and almost every religion has someone or something that takes up this space, if you will, to be the anointed of God or the Christ, the Messiah. And of course, the word Messiah in Christ means the anointed one. But the point I'm making is that Satan has a counterfeit for everything. And so it's not unusual. It always amazes me sometimes when churches that will have different things in their church, you know, that you get in exercise and get in touch with, you know, with yourself, so on and so forth, and actually they're worshiping another god. And so they're really, you're like the Jews when they worship Baal and worship the Lord. Now, they was trying to do both things. And so these things are just they're ingrained into our societies, into the world. So there's Antichrist all around us. Antichrist is coming, though, and this is the Antichrist. He is on his way. We can speed up or slow down. Can we speed up or slow down Antichrist appearing? It always has made me, when I hear somebody preach it or say it, I sit there and like, do they believe God's in control or not? When I was younger, I run with some preachers, and that's before I come to the truth. But even then, I thought, now something wrong with this. They said, well, we need to get out there and evangelize, and when we get that last one saved, we can bring in the kingdom because Jesus will come. Let me say to you, he's coming on time. If we get 1 billion people out there, it'd be according to God's will, whether it's the time or not. And so we can't hasten by getting more evangelism out there. We are to evangelize. We should be moved to evangelize. But our purpose is not that we can usher in the kingdom by doing that. And so you cannot speed up or slow down Antichrist coming. He's coming at God's time and not our time. Do you believe that God has a flexible timetable? Or do you believe He has a firm timeline? Does He have a flexible table or a firm timeline? That line is set and it's not going to waver. God's not going to get up tomorrow morning. I know this is foolish. Get up tomorrow morning and say, well, I believe why don't we just cut this? I want to get the saints on home. We'll just cut this portion out. Well, you say, no, that's not the way God does. He declares the end from the beginning, and if he cut a portion out, then his declaration would be wrong somewhere or another. God is not going to change his time schedule. All prophecies are interwoven together and all must occur as God has planned it. Not only is Antichrist coming, Jesus Christ is coming. And the man of sin has to be revealed before Jesus' glory coming. I didn't say in the air, I said glory coming. Because when Jesus comes, His glory coming, and steps down the Mount of Olives, and He cast the beast into the lake of fire, let me say to you, Antichrist already has to be there for Him to do that. So if you think you can speed up Antichrist coming, then you think you can speed up Jesus Christ coming, and I guarantee you, absolutely, positively, you cannot do that. Everything in God's secret decrees and prophecies has a date to it, and is appointed time. Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now this is my definition of a prophecy and how it works. God gives a prophecy He gives them an appointed time. He reveals it to his people. And at the appointed time, whether we know the appointment time or not, it will come when God has appointed it to happen. There in the book of Galatians, and 4:4, I know we're all familiar with this, but when the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent for His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Could the Jews make Jesus come faster? Or was there an appointed time for Him to come? And the Scripture says in the fullness of time. He wasn't 5 minutes early. He was not 5 minutes late. He came at the fullness, the complete time that it was given by God that He should come. And so we know all the other things that went around that, you know, around that. The taxation had to get Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem because that's where Micah said that the Savior was going to be born. And so they were moved down there, and she was with child, and it was not by Joseph. I mean, he had a burden to carry. If the angel hadn't spoke to him, we know what he would have done. The point I'm making is that God has everything in time. Every man's place is lived and governed by God. There in the book of Acts, Acts 17:26, and I, sometime if you ask people if God determines the boundaries, you'd be surprised as Christians say that He doesn't. But this is what the Word of God says, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It sounds like me, they couldn't come to America before it was their time. Whether it was the Indians or whether it was the Europeans or whoever it was that come, they came at God's appointed time because God set the bounds for their habitation. They could not go beyond those bounds. And we say, well, America was discovered before. Well, it wasn't habited, was it? It wasn't the time. The point I'm making is Antichrist cannot appear before his time. No more than you could have been born earlier or later than you was born. Your time was set too. The day of your salvation, one of the things I struggled with when I was saved, was in my 30s, 33, and I thought to myself, I've wasted all this time. If I'd been living for God, I just went on, and as a preacher, I just really put the pressure on sometime because I didn't want other people to waste their time too until I realized that God appointed my day of salvation. He's the one that determined what day I would be saved. And on that day, I was saved. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't because Al said, you promised to do that. And I had promised to do that. And so I had to do it and be in church when I didn't want to be. And the brother was preaching, preached a message on that, you know, that he was absolutely sure, you know, are we confident? But I was absolutely wrong in my confidence. I was secure in my ideal of that I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Because after all, I did go down and shake the preacher's hand, and I did make a profession of faith, and they did put me under the water. Only thing was lacking was I wasn't saved. Warning, Antichrist are here, more to come, and Antichrist is now. It is an absolute fact he will come, and Antichrist are already here. They're in the book of Matthew 24:4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So don't be surprised that these guys that go out and say they're Christ or they're a special messenger or whatever it is they claim to be, that they don't get a following, because they do. The devil's got a people out there that's ready to follow anything. But Jesus warning to us that we don't be deceived and get in that crowd. Yes, I believe God will bring us out if we get in that crowd. But we'll do a lot of damage while we're there, ruin our testimony forever, usually, and won't be the children of God that we ought to have been if we never had gone into the camp of the devil. We need to be careful of who we associate with, who we fellowship with, and who we give our stamp of approval to. Because when we do that, it's a matter of our credibility before those that we speak to about Christ. If I tell you that, I'm not going to mention any name, but if I tell you there's a guy from Oklahoma years and years ago, and he went out preaching, I said, well, I think he's probably a pretty good fellow. You probably listen to him. And then they'd look at me and say, does he believe anything? Is he out for the dollar? We could go on and on, but the point I'm making is we need to be careful who we put our stamp of approval on. Many kinds of men and women of sin who have claimed to be Christ's teachers have gone out into the world and deceived. Many of the modern religions today are started by women who had a special vision or a special touch or before God or, you know, something. Well, the four square, you know, churches, and we could talk about Christian Science and so on and so forth. And so it's not just the men of sin, it's the women of sin also that are out there deceiving and tricking people, if you will, and to a false religion. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means. For the day shall come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I believe we're in the falling away. Now, some people differ with me, but I believe we're in the falling away. I can remember when people would stick with the truth, stand for the truth, and knew the truth. Now you get somebody out there who can dance around the pulpit a little bit, shake his hands a little bit, sing a song, and next thing you know, everybody's going to go see him. Even though he's not preaching the truth, he's preaching some kind of lie, or you've got to be in his church, or be in his congregation, or you can get secret knowledge or secret wisdom that nobody else in the world's come. Come in my inner circle here, and I'll teach you things that nobody else knows. And they'll be flocking to him. We had a Good Shepherd Church that come into the area where I was pastoring in Owensboro, Kentucky, and they came in, and one of the people that had been a member of the church I pastored, he said, you know, Sunday, said, we were so filled with the Spirit, the preacher couldn't even preach. Yeah, because some had prophecies, and some had speaking in tongues, and the preacher couldn't even preach because they were so filled with the Spirit. Although I did notice that a lot of the people at Baptist that joined them were troublemakers in some of the churches they come from, and their churches were better that they went on. But let me say to you, we can be drawn up in the crowd. They deny Jesus as the God-man. They're in 1 John 4, 1, starting there. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. They deny Jesus as a God-man. Now, which one is he? More. Is he more man or more God? He is God, very God, and yet he's man, very man. He is the God-man. We read to us this morning, John 1:14. And what is it? That he was made flesh and dwelt among us. covered with flesh, that no man could look upon him and see the glory of God in him. The only ones could see Jesus and see his glory was the one that got saved. There in John 18, 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby ye know it is the last time. Last time was ushered in with Jesus' incarnation, death, and resurrection. Now put all those together, because some believe is his birth. Some believe is his resurrection. So I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just saying that it was ushered in that Jesus' incarnation, death, and resurrection. But we're in the end times. It is not something we're looking forward for it to come. We are in it. Now we say it's been a long time since Jesus was resurrected. Now that is true. But John called it the last times, the last days. Paul does. John has reference to the possibility that the day was nigh at hand. In 2 Timothy, though, 1:2-19, who concerning the truth have erred, saying, the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, what was they teaching? Saying that the resurrection is past already. What was they teaching? They missed the rapture. They missed it! And here they had missed it, and it overthrew the faith of many, but it says the Lord knows them that are his. What was wrong? Well, we look in 2 Thessalonians also, and we see the problem was the man of sin had not appeared yet. If the rapture had occurred, the man of sin would have been there. He'd been over chumming around with Israel. He'd been over there helping them in their peace committee to get things settled back in order after their destruction of the Gog and Magog, if you will, or Gog coming down from Magog, and getting all that settled for him, and they don't think he's the greatest man that's ever come around. He is almost like the Messiah. But in the middle of the week, he shows himself that he's Antichrist, and in the middle of the week, he puts the abomination of desolation, which Jesus speaks of, and we mentioned earlier, and he puts it in a place that ought not be, and he stands in that place. He is the abomination of desolation. But here they said, it's already occurred and you missed it. But the man of sin was not there. Antichrist has got all kinds of doctrine. And if you're gullible, then you'll fall into the snare. How many Antichrists were proper members of Baptist churches who returned to the world system? If they were not of us, why? Because they did not continue with us. 2 Peter 2:1-2, but there were false prophets also among the people. Even there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow after pernicious ways, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In 2 Peter 2:22, we got the prodigal pig. Prodigal pig, he went out and tried to get on the straight and narrow. And after a while, as he's on the straight and narrow, it was just too straight and it was just too narrow. He liked the broad way. And so he went from the broad, from the straight and narrow. He left that Baptist church and he went down over here and wallowed in the mire. Prodigal pig come home. The problem with the pig was he never was changed. He never was a sheep to begin with. But he did go for a while, and people to say, yes, brother, no, brother. He might have been a preacher. But the prodigal pig went home. They heard the call of their father, the devil, and left the narrow way and went on the broad way. And no telling how many people they took with them. How many saints they had deceived while they were gone. In 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, and we don't have time to read the whole chapter, but you can study that out and you just see that they led many astray. And they were in for it, of course, for the money. Judas appeared like the apostles. I'm going to have to quickly go through this. You can study out Judas for yourself, and I think everybody knows about him. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was one of the 12. Jesus picked him. Now in John 17, Jesus in his prayer there mentions, and it was according to the Father's will that he choose that one. He says, save. He had not lost anyone. Save for the son of perdition. Judas went out. There in, I'll read Luke 9, 1 and 2, and he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the king. Sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You think Judas did that? He absolutely did. They come back bragging, and say, "Well, the spirits were subject to us. We done this." And Jesus says, "Don't brag about that. Brag about your names written in heaven." But one of them didn't have his name there, did he? Doing works is not a sure sign of being saved. Matthew 7, 21, 23 through 23. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied? I might say, didn't I not preach? And in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now what part of that up there we read was iniquity? He said, workers of iniquity. Everything they did is iniquity. Sacrilege. And declare that they are something that they're not, and using themselves as an example for others to follow. Devil's priests approach by Satan's followers, and that a follower, and that's Judas. Luke 22:2, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, that's Jesus, for they feared the people that. And then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted him, give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. He knew where Jesus was going to be. Daniel 8:25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Who is that? That is the Antichrist. Daniel 11:21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peacefully and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. So he's going to come up with a message of peace. I'm for peace. He's going over and talk to Israel. I'm for peace. I'm going to do everything I can do for you fellows over here in Jerusalem and Israel here. We're going to have peace. And then he goes talk to these ten kings. He sweet talks them. He used flatteries. Of course, you and I wouldn't be moved by flatteries, wouldn't we? And so he comes in with peace, speaking peace. He comes in with flatteries, and then he shows himself what he is. Antichrist revealed by God to his own. Just as Paul thought it was doing God a service. John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he's doing God a service. That's the way Antichrist thought. Many of them absolute deceived. They think they're serving Jehovah God. They really do. Some of them think they're serving Jesus Christ. You notice we read early, if they denied the Father, they didn't have the Son. And they denied the Son, they didn't have the Father. I'm thinking that John is pretty close to a Trinitarian. And if you didn't believe that God is in three persons, then you don't have one or the other. You have nothing. How many religions today that teach one or the other and claim to be workers of God? Those that have itching ears, they don't want to hear the truth. They want somebody to come up and say, you're a fine fellow. You're good, and boy, the church really appreciates you having you in this place. We don't care what you do while you're outside the church. You just come in and be a part of us, sing with us, and do all these things, you know. Many choirs today don't even have saved people in them. You say, well, we're reaching the lost. We just put everybody in our choir. Now, little children, by the Scripture, are permitted to praise God. But it is the saints that praises God in the church. Could we have children come in? Of course we could. We're not to offend the little ones. But when we have those singing in our choir, they should be God's people. I'll just throw that in. No charge. The unction of the anointed of the Holy One is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that reveals to us the truth. And these that would betray in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth. If they hear the truth, they're liable to walk out. Their ears are tuned. I believe you was talking about me, preacher, and you said this, that, and the other. I don't. A person come, now I was shaking people's hand at the church I was at. We shaking their hands, they was going out the side door there, and they asked me, said, who told you? And I thought, what in the world are they talking about? I said, that's not right for you to stand up there and preach against me like that. And I said, you know, brother, I didn't know who it was for, but now I do. Nobody whispered in my ear, this fellow's doing this, that, or the other. And the Spirit just gave me a message, and I just preached the message, and they got mad. They had an itching ear. They wanted to go down the streets, which they did, and they'd go down there, and they wouldn't be troubled by somebody picking on them. They wouldn't have to worry about the Holy Spirit speaking to them at all. They just go down and enjoy it, get up and shout a little bit, sing a song. Preacher, get up and sing them a 15-minute serenade or a little story, maybe 10 minutes in some churches, and they're all happy. That's a wonderful, best sermon I've ever heard in my life because it made me feel like $1 million. But very little is said about Jesus Christ. One of the things that the Spirit does is speak to us of the incarnation. When somebody is weak on the incarnation, I always wonder if the Spirit has spoken to them. They may have had a preacher speak to them. They had somebody witness to them. But the Spirit of God is the one that seals that, that makes it believable. How could God become man and still be God and be man at the same time? How can that be? In my brain, I can't figure it out. In my thinking about it and trying to draw pictures and diagrams, I did one time for a church study, I thought, this is getting complicated. But the new man understands it completely. You say he understands it, he understands that it's true. That's what the new man knows. The new man, the old man doesn't know that, but the new man absolutely knows that Jesus is the God-man. He is in a glorified body this very day. And yet he is holding everything together as God. Everything consists and exists by his power. And yet he's interceding on our behalf as our high priest. You tell me. The new man knows that. But the old man can't understand it. No, what was from the beginning? We had read to us John 1:1-3. In the beginning, he was not incarnated. And you better be careful on the Proverbs of wisdom over there too. You're going to be make him something that he's not. He is the eternal God the Son who was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's still God, very God. And man, very man. There's a new... I'm not going to teach that. True believers abide in the truth, ever abiding in the Father and the Son. They abide not in Antichrist. And Antichrist, and he abides and will instruct and give sway to false believers. His... Those people have those itching ears. Antichrist's message is going to come in loud and clear. They said, I've got it! It's cleared up my itch. I'm no longer itching anymore. I've got the Word. And they'll follow Antichrist to the ends of the world and into hell and the lake of fire. Knowing the promise that God has given us, eternal life. Protection from them, nevertheless, it's not impossible to deceive God's people. You ever been deceived? I have. I've spoken of it often when I was a young Christian. I got deceived too many times. It's just embarrassing. Here I was saved, called preacher, going to school to learn something about preaching, and just being swayed, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. What a shame. They tried to seduce us into committing spiritual adultery with them. They want us to unionize with the false believer and the churches. We're all Christians. Let's get together. We're all Christians. We should be unified on Christ. It sounds great, doesn't it? And it's like saying, you know, we need to take care of everybody. Sounds good, doesn't it? Until you get down to the fine print. Now, some things we're going to have to eliminate if we're going to unionize, isn't it? That sovereignty of God's got to go. It has to go. How can we join together with brothers and sisters in Christ and be a different one? We got to drop that. Well, some of them don't believe in being born again. Well, we're going to have to drop that preacher. Going to have to get that born again out of there. Don't we just won't say that because it offends some of these other people. Well, some of them believe you have to be baptized. Now, have you ever noticed in unionizing, you ever tried unionizing? In unionizing, they want to keep everything they got. It's only the Christians that have to change. Because they want to keep that water sprinkling. They want to keep that water putting you into the church. They want to get that power in that pastor's hand that when he lays you under that water and he brings you up or he sprinkles you on the head with some water, that he has birthed you into the kingdom. It's still the Spirit of God birthing you into the kingdom. So you unionize. They won't drop one thing that they have. But if you're going to unionize with them, you've got to give everything up you believe. Don't think it's sold, just try it. Don't try it. Take that back. Don't try it. I had a church member, this will be on your dinner hour. I had a church member, and he said, well, you know, we need to, all the Christians are getting together, you know, we're going to help the homeless. And, you know, that sounds pretty good. He said, they're having a meeting down here, and one of you, want to come with me? And he talking about all the Christians going to be there, you know, preachers. I'll go there. So this Catholic priest got up. He's running the deal, you know. And I thought, here you are, George. I thought, man, how am I going to get out of here? And he goes, my members with me. He thought the greatest thing that ever happened that all of us getting together are going to help the home. You know, the devil's got a lot of projects out there. He's got a lot of projects. That's joined together to do this. That's joined together to do that. It could be housing. It could be food. It could be some other type of thing, work projects or whatever. The devil's got a lot of them. Let's give to the Shriners to help, you know, people in the hospital. Now, let me say to you, they help a lot of people. There's no doubt about it. But you know what it is? They're still Shriners. Catholic charities help a lot of people. Because we know part of that money goes across the sea. Can we unionize with them? Doing a good work. Magnifying Christ, they say. Shriners on. Makes us hear, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. They don't follow Antichrist, They don't follow those that would tickle itching ears. They don't do the puppeteers. Men that stand behind the pulpit, they might as well have a clown's face on. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. The only thing you can know about this book is what the Spirit of God reveals to you. You get in there and try to decipher it without the Spirit, you're going to end up in trouble. You're going to be one of these false teachers out here. You know, it speaks about those that's teaching, they don't even know what they're teaching. They're in 1 John. The righteous do righteously. Let's look in 1 John 2:29. If ye know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. Now, chapter 3 will say more about that, but we'll wait till we get there. If you live an ungodly life, how do you know you're his? Me, for real. I'm completely satisfied if you're living ungodly. If you will, laying in the baths of iniquity, you absolutely cannot know if you're saved or not. You're so backslidden that the Spirit of God is grieved in you. He's quenched in you. And the only thing that you'll receive if he is there is judgment. Because you'll not hear that still small voice directing you, go this way. Go that way. Go straight ahead. You know what protects you from Antichrist? You know what protects you from false teachers? It is this right here, empowered by the Spirit of God. It's the only thing that can protect you. You cannot depend on a man to protect you. You got to depend on God to protect you with His Word as the Spirit reveals it. The saddest thing is when somebody that you thought believed everything like you do and go off into some ungodliness. And you think to yourself, how could I have been so deceived about them? I think, well, maybe they'll come back. And next thing you know, they're presenting their, they become one of the spokesmen for them. Don't be deceived. There are many antichrists in the world, and antichrist, the man of sin, is coming soon. Many, as Judas, started out in the absolute truth. Yeah, you couldn't have a better teacher than Judas. Some people think you can teach people straight. Yeah, Judas. He started in truth, he departed, and some may say, well, he changed. He didn't change. He's a prodigal pig. He just went home to wallow in the mud. They listen to their father, the devil. Those that do not endure until the end confirm that they were never of God. Do you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to perceive and believe the word of truth? Do you know Jesus is God's Son? God the Son, the Christ. If you don't, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior, a man's only hope.